Do you find that you have a little more clutter in your life than you'd like to have? If so, this is the episode for you because we're talking about clutter and how it drains our energy, how it shows up in various forms, and what to do about it. So I have a special guest on the show. I'm going to tell you about her in a little bit. But if you're new here, this is the Intentional Mind Podcast, and we geek out about intentionally designing your life using the power of your mind, faith, and energy. We geek out about living in a life that's in alignment with who you want to be. And I want to say thank you so much for showing up, for listening. If you've been around for a while, I know that there's a gazillion podcasts that you can choose from. There's lots of things you can do with your time. So from the bottom of my heart, it means a lot that you're showing up. If you're like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. I just got here today. My name's Angela, and I'm a nerd when it comes to the mind. And sometimes people will say to me, it's funny because people will say to me, don't call yourself a nerd. And I'm like, as if it's a negative thing. And I don't perceive it in that way. This is not me trash talking myself. It's me saying, like, I'm proud of it. Like, I will geek out about this stuff all day long. If you want to talk about habits, being the person that you want to be, making your dreams come true, showing up with energy that is contagious, that makes you feel good, let's talk about it. I'm your girl. Okay. So anyways, I want to give a shout out to the newest podcast review. You know, I'm always over here telling you guys, please leave a review if you haven't. And you know why I say this is obviously it helps people find the show, but it also gives the show credibility, like that it's worth listening to. So if you really believe that it is worth listening to, the greatest thank you that you can do for me is to go leave a review. So a lot of times you leave the review and it makes you type a nickname in. So this one is from K. Weshin SNE1. And she says, I met Angela through my yoga teacher a couple years ago for a vision board workshop. At the time, her approach didn't land with me, but as the world and energies work, I've since circled back and have completely fallen in love with the podcast. It's grounding and inspirational, uplifting and applicable. I waited to write a review until catching up on all the episodes, and now that I've listened to all of the ones that are available, I'm taking the time to share how much I'm excited to keep listening. I look forward to dedicating time to work through my own identity-based goals and to continue leading a life that feels both joyful and purposeful. A worthwhile listen for anyone feeling helpless, hopeful, or hungry to learn. And I just got the chills when I read that. Thank you so much for leaving that. If you're listening, that means so much to me. The reason I wanted to share that with y'all is that I wanted to acknowledge that goodness that was given to me. You know, like where your focus goes, energy flows, right? And when you focus on what you like and what you love about something and you're willing to speak about it with your words, you're willing to take action on it, you are generating that kind of energy into the world. And that always comes back to you. Like, you know how sometimes people say, like, do something, just do it because it's good karma. I have a cousin that always says this. And I'm like, yeah, because you're just putting that out there and like energy attracts. So this makes me think about the kind of person that I want to be. And I want to be the person that shows up and tells other people what I like about them, what I love about them, because I don't think enough people do that in the world. People are so quick to criticize, but they're not quick to praise, and they're not quick to point out what they like about people. So like, I've been training my brain to go around and be like, what do I like? What do I like about them, you know, and really shifting my focus there versus on what I don't like. And if you actually listen to people, the majority of people are always talking about the things they don't like. The majority of people are out there generating that kind of energy into the world because they are powerful beings. We are. We have the ability to influence ourselves and others with our energy. So I want to ask you, what kind of energy do you want to generate into the world? What kind of person do you want to be? And are your actions indicating that you're showing up in that way? Like if you say you want to be a person that is loving, that is attentive, that is patient, do your actions show that you are that person? Do the way that you spend your time and your resources, is that in alignment with who you want to be? Those are the questions I'm always asking myself, and I'm working on being more of that. So for me, one of the things that I want to be more of is the kind of person who doesn't have a lot of clutter in their life. That's why I wanted to bring Angie on the show. I'm like, teach me your ways. Because although I do feel like I'm a very intentional person, especially in my space as far as like where things go, because I do live in a tiny house that's really tiny. So I need to be. But There's other forms of clutter that shows up in my life that Angie is going to tell us about. So I want to reduce that kind of clutter so I can expand my energy, so I can show up as that person I want to be and do the work that I believe that God has called me to do, you know? So anywho, with that being said, Angie Heitch is on the show today, and she is a professional organizer. She's part of the National Association of Professional Organizers. I didn't even know that was a thing. That's a legit thing. And she is a true professional about how she goes about doing this work. She also wrote a book called Unholy Mess, What the Bible Says About Clutter. So she's on the show today to share with us what she knows about clutter and some tips to reduce clutter in our life in the various forms. So here we go.
So I'm really curious to know, like, how did you get involved in the field of professional organizing?
Yeah, so I have always been pretty obsessed with organizing, and I would do it a lot for friends and groups that I was volunteering with. And one of them was the community theater, the room where they had all their costumes and props. It was a complete disaster. And so a friend and I spent months going through all that stuff. And I just said, I could do this every day of my life. I love it. And so I started doing research and found out there that it is a profession, found NAPO. And I thought, this is what I'm destined to do. I should do this. But it took me a lot of years before I worked up the courage, because I knew that it would mean not just doing the work, but starting my own business. And I was intimidated by that. So when my husband and I became empty nesters, I felt like I really had the time to throw into starting my own business. And it's been such a great ride. I love it so much.
I can tell based on when I was doing the research and you and like having you on the show, I'm like, this girl is super passionate about organizing. And I love that you listen to that, you know, tug on your heart, and that you follow of like what lights you up and you actually took action on it. And I'm curious to know about your childhood, and was any of this like, were there any signs of this love for organizing in your childhood?
Oh, definitely. I always had I was very intentional about my space. I was definitely taught to organize. I think my mother could probably do this same kind of work, and she helps her friends declutter and organize.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And I was always like in the neighborhood, I was the one that planned all our play. Like I would build obstacle courses and I'd start clubs. And yeah, I mean, as far as I can remember, I always loved to organize. And I also like to be in charge. So running a business is very up my alley.
So I like to ask that question because I've seen with the work that I do with helping people around like finding a career that's more in alignment with who they want to be, I have found that people's strengths, like I'm a person that believes that your gifts will make you prosperous. Like, and I believe that you were born with special gifts and talents and that you're meant to use and like share them. And if you like notice the things that light you up, like the things or the things that you're just super curious about, that is a sign that that's something that you should really pay attention to. You should tap into that I believe would make you prosperous. And I think a lot of those signs start showing up at a young age. And if people like really think back to when they were little and how even they played and showed up, like I guarantee those gifts were being displayed then, you know?
That's so true. And I feel like with the work I do and with this book, I feel like God has put me in a spot where I have knowledge and instincts and passion and love for getting to know people. And I just feel like very much like this is where I'm supposed to be. And that's such an amazing feeling.
It is.
Especially when you can combine your work with your faith. I mean, there's just nothing like it. When you can know that what you're doing is your mission. And it's not this compartmentalized thing. Well, it's my spiritual life and my work life and my home life, you know, because it all goes together.
Yeah, it definitely does. I always talk about that, how like if you're, you know, if you're hating what it is that you do every day, then that bleeds into your relationships, your home life, you know, because there's no way that people will say like, oh, I compartmentalize. Like I just leave work at work and I leave my home stuff at home. And it's like, no, you're a human being. So if you're not liking your work, you come home and you bring that energy into your space. Mm-hmm. And you see it a lot too with people I've noticed who really don't like their work, just because I've worked with a lot of people that find themselves unfulfilled in their job, and their space will be a reflection of that. Like there will be a lot of clutter and just stuff gets, they get so overwhelmed because they just don't have the energy to take care of things. So I'm curious to know from your experience, what have you noticed about clutter as far as relating to what's happening in someone's own minds and other areas of their life?
I think that I didn't really have a real understanding of how deep the clutter issues go when I first started. And people think about it in terms of just, you know, getting the right containers and putting labels on and all that kind of stuff. And don't get me wrong, I love that. I geek out over that. But so many times the reasons for the clutter are just related to stuff in your soul and your psyche. There's been studies, and I did a lot of studies for the book about there's correlations between clutter and depression, clutter and excess weight, clutter and decreased academic performance in kids, the difficulty in focus, so many things. There's almost always, and it doesn't necessarily have to be something deep and dark, but usually there's something in someone's life that leads to that, mm-hmm. especially when it's a pretty severe case of clutter. And, you know, doing the work with clients and seeing all the physical clutter in the homes, for the first few years, I would think, I'd be so glad to get back in my home because my home is so nice and there's not clutter around. And just, so, you know, I don't have issues with clutter. And then the more I started understanding the depth of the issue and that it was more than just the stuff, yeah. there's clutter in our schedule and there's clutter on our to-do list and there's clutter in our minds, that I started realizing, okay, I can't be all prideful about this anymore because my issues with clutter are just as bad. They're just invisible.
Oh, that's such a good point, because I think a lot of times people will think like, if I have my space cleaned and it looks clutter-free, then I don't really, you know, maybe I don't have a lot of junk in quotation marks that I need to deal with. But sometimes we display our clutter in different ways, like you were saying. Yes. So what are some of those other types of clutter?
Well, for me, the biggest ones were a calendar that was just jam-packed with events, and my addiction to my cell phone. Those were my two biggest ones. Mm-hmm. And it's been a real journey with that. Sometimes with my schedule, I think part of the reason I filled my schedule so full, I do really like being busy and I'm an extrovert. But I think sometimes I maybe not really consciously packed my schedule full because it was easier to do that than to really think about the emptiness in me, you know, the things that I needed to fix in my own heart and soul. And so it was easier just to stay busy, because when I had time to slow down and think, that's when I realized all of the things inside me that I needed to fix.
Mm-hmm. I can so relate to that, jam-packing my schedule. And I feel like it's a constant journey for me, like it is for us all. Like I'm always working on this, especially the thing with my phone, because I find the more that I start, I don't know, just get in the habit of like, I look at my phone and then like, I go back down that path of looking at it a lot more.
I've done a lot of things practically to fight this cell phone addiction, that little tiny steps, but they've made a big difference. And
what are those things that you've done?
Yeah. So some of the things that have helped the most, one small thing is not charging my phone right beside me on my bed. because otherwise I'll be on it until I fall asleep and then on it the second I wake up. So I charge it across the room, which is a small thing, but we have a rule, no phones at mealtime. And so we try to, sometimes we'll remember not to even take them in if we're going out to a restaurant. I'm on a lot of social media for my business, but I had to make a really drastic step of getting off Facebook personally. I tried to kind of cut back and it just wasn't working.
People don't realize how much their environment impacts their behavior. So you've got to set your environment up to be the person that you want to be, as I would say. So if you want to be the person that's constantly and obsessed with that, then yeah, put it in front of your eyes so that you are primed to do that. But if you don't want to be that person, then intentionally moving it out of your sight. And I see that you did that. If you want to be the person that really if you are the person that says, I really value quality time with the people that I love, then an action that aligns up with that is taking your phone away when you are with them so that you can be more present.
So we know that our phones can serve sometimes as a form of clutter because they distract us from being the people that we want to be or showing up in a way that we want to show up. So what are some of the other forms of clutter?
Okay, so the first one is the one that everybody tends to think about with clutter is the physical clutter, the stuff that we have that, clutters up our closets and drawers and sometimes the floors and the counters and things that we have that my definition of clutter, the reason it encompasses so many things is it's anything that distracts us from what we should be focusing on, what the life we want to live. So it can be stuff, and stuff is a huge problem. And the thing that I think saddens me the most about the physical clutter is that when I see houses that have just piles and piles and piles of bins and bins and boxes of things that are not being used, and I think everything that we have is from God. It's all God's. We're supposed to be good stewards of it. And if it's in a bin or a box, nobody's getting any use out of that. So you think about people that could get some use out of it, but yet we're holding on because, well, we might need that down the road, or my kids might want it, or it's special, or, you know, all those different obstacles that come into play. And when we could use that space so much better, and we could, I mean, when my husband and I did this really big downsize recently, we decided every single item in our new place is going to be something we love and use. If we don't love it and use it, we have no need of it. And it was just so freeing letting that much go.
That's how it feels. I feel so free and light. And it's also created this me letting go a lot of things because I live in a tiny house now. So I've had to do the journey and I can't bring in a bunch of additional things in my home. I guess I could, but it would be severely cluttered in this tiny space. Yes. So it's made it so I'm a lot more intentional about what I bring into my life as far as things, but it's also made it so it's almost like by me practicing this idea on a physical level about being intentional, what I bring into my space, I also practice it on a mental level. Around what I listen to, who I spend my, time with, how I fill my schedule. It's like, it's allowed me to be more intentional in general. And I think it all started with my space.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Have you seen that though with your clients as far as when you help them declutter their space and start to be more intentional about it? Have you seen other areas of their life drastically improve as well?
Oh, definitely. Yes. They definitely talk about feeling more at peace, having more of a focus, not just feeling freed up to do more things as they're not having to spend all that time dealing with their stuff. There are definitely psychological benefits to clearing the physical clutter.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is because if you think about when you wake up and you see your space and it just feels like, you know, that you got to take care of the stuff, but you keep putting it off because you're just overwhelmed by it. It's too much. Mm-hmm. It immediately shifts you into the state of overwhelm. And from a state of overwhelm, you're not productive in general. Your relationships are not thriving because you show up as someone who is really overwhelmed and sometimes, you know, depressed. And it's not the feelings that you're generating are not the feelings that people are like, yeah, I really want to hang out with you. You know, so it's like your relationships suffer, your work suffers, all these other things suffer because you are not being intentional about what's in your environment, because your environment is so impactful in like shifting you into certain states. So you have, okay, so we have the physical clutter, just straight up stuff. What's another kind of
clutter? Well, I call it schedule clutter, and I link it calendar and your to-do list.
Oh, okay.
As a type A, just overachiever kind of person, I can be so focused on my to-do list that I can't be present wherever, because I'm thinking, you know, what can I check off? What can I check off? What's mm-hmm. the next thing? That is probably the hardest one for me now that I've gotten a little bit of a handle on my phone. Many, many years of my adult life, I said, God and my family are the most important things in my life. But if you were to examine my calendar and to-do list, you wouldn't know that. Mm-hmm. So that's a misalignment, and that has to be dealt with. So.
Exactly. And a lot of people are not aware of that. Like, I'm always asking the question, like, are you being, like, are you showing up as the person you want to be? Mm-hmm. And how do you know? Look at how you're spending your time, how you're spending your money, your resources in general. Look at your calendar. Because if you say that something is really important to you and it doesn't get a spot in your calendar, there's a problem. You're living out of alignment. And if you're wondering why you're feeling unfulfilled, that is why.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That is, so there was this Bible study that I went to when my girls were really young that I've never forgotten. And I put this in the book, a friend of mine, Teresa, she had a really young girl at the time, and she had this baby doll that had a battery pack in the back. And I don't remember what the doll did, but she said, all of us have a hole in our lives, and God's the only thing that can really fill that void. So this doll, if I put the batteries in, it will do what it's supposed to do. But if I try to stick other things in there, they're not going to fit right, and it's not going to work. So she had all these props, like a dollar bill, a little car, a little house, something involving career, medicine, food. Like, we fill our lives with all this physical stuff and all these things because we're looking for some sense of fulfillment that those things are never going to fill it. The only thing that is really going to fill it is if we're living out the life that God has planned for us. And the thing is, it's like so much better than anything we could come up with on our own. So we're wasting time and energy trying to fill our lives with things that are not going to bring fulfillment.
Yeah.
That's taken me a lot of years to realize how much time I wasted mm-hmm. trying to fill my life with things that weren't going to make me happy.
It's so interesting that you say that. This morning I was listening to this YouTube video about Earl Nightingale and like the secret to success. And I've listened to it so many times because it's so good, like his message. And this is from back in the day, but it's kind of like I think it was when he was like on a radio show or something, and it sounds like old school when you're listening to it, but it's so powerful. But he brings in a lot of biblical wisdom, and he talks a lot about thoughts. But one of the things he said is that, like, basically how important your thoughts are into like determining like your results in your life.
Yes.
And that we all have been given this very special gift, and it's your mind, the power of your mind. And he says the reason why, like, if all the answers lie into like this brain, that this thing that God has given you, then why aren't people not tapping into it more and like using it? And he said, because it was given to them for free. And the things that people get for free, they tend to not as value as much, but they got it wrong, because all the things that are of value, of so much value in our lives, are free. Like the fact that we can show up and we can just love on our, you know, we got our siblings or our parents and all of them, they were given to us for free, all people that we love, right? And that's what matters most to us. And then the same thing with your mind. And it just made me think about how we do chase, we're always trying to get all these things and we act like that matters so much more, but we forget that it's already, all the things of value have already been given to us.
Wow, that's
like,
good.
Use them. Yeah. And like, it really changed my perspective because I was like, wow. And since I've made this journey of simplifying my life and living in this tiny home and just really, I feel like it's allowed me to focus more on the things that matter the most, like my relationships and having experiences and like enjoying my life. It's not just, the things aren't distracting me anymore. And I realized I'm the most fulfilled I've ever been because I'm, I guess, valuing the things that were already for free.
That's very powerful.
Yeah. So what is the other type of clutter?
So the other one is, I call it attention clutter. And I'm just talking about the things that we think about. So I lump the cell phone addiction in there, but I also think about just all the times that we're very unfocused. We're not present in the moment. I have a really funny story about this. So some of the signs, like forgetting things, constantly late, having to repeat, all this stuff. So two things that I will ask someone a question, and by the time they answer it, my brain is elsewhere and they give the answer and I don't even remember what the question is. That's definitely not being present in the moment. I was going to my first NAPO conference of organizers. I was so excited. And my husband took me to the airport and we get, you know, give him a hug and kiss, get the trunk to get my suitcase. My suitcase was at home.
Oh no.
And I leave things at my clients' houses. I mean, my brain is just going a million miles an hour. So there's just a lot of mental clutter. You're talking to someone and you're thinking about what's next. That's me. I mean, what do I have to do next? My to-do list and my next event and this and that. Just being wherever you are, being completely there in your mind and your heart. And, you know, because the biggest compliment that you can give someone is your complete attention.
Yeah.
It's so totally true.
And that goes back to like, people are more important than things.
Yes.
Because sometimes we get in our minds where we like, I got to do the next thing. I need to check off the next box instead of being present with the person. And that's why that whole mantra, people are more important than things, has been stuck with me so much. This past week I was visiting family and my sister had mentioned to me, she's like, wow, you're so much more present than you've ever been before. And that was a huge compliment to me because I was just like you, the same person of being like, check off the to-do list. What's the next thing I need to do? And that, I think that's in that joy that's been coming in my life, that's been showing up a lot more nowadays, is because of that presence that I've been, I guess, generating into spaces, being there with the person, giving them my time and attention as if I value them, because I do value them. But for so long, I was living out of alignment with what it was that I valued. So I think for anyone listening right now, if you feel unfulfilled in any way, I'm here to say that there's some area of your life that you're living in. There's a value of yours that's probably being challenged. So that might take time to be still and check out and see what that is. But I'm really curious about this attention clutter and all these thoughts in your mind as far as constantly running. What are some of the things that you do to help with this? Because all people that are listening right now, I know they've experienced this too, where there's so much in your mind going that you just feel like you can't be present. So what do you do about that?
Well, for sure, prayer and Bible study are hugely important. And as far as I've always been pretty regular with Bible study, but prayer was harder for me. And, you know, all those things that we're stressing out about and those things that we're mulling about in our minds, all those details of our lives, God cares about all that. And so the more I'm able to just say, just pour out my emotions to God, I get so much peace from that. That helps tremendously. I've been, after talking to my counselor, counseling therapy is super helpful. She talked to me for a long time about meditation, try meditation. And it was like, oh, okay, finally, I'm going to try this thing. And so I've been pretty regular about it the last 2 or 3 months, just 5-10 minutes. And it doesn't have to be part of a program, whatever, but just some stillness. And it changed from being something I had to do because my counselor told me I needed to, and it was on my list, to something I really enjoyed and looked forward to. For me also, getting some time in nature helps tremendously to clear. Because when I'm outside, it's like trees and flowers and birds and all those things on my to-do list and the things on my calendar, they just seem not important. You know, when you look at the beauty of the creation that God made for us, and especially if I'm able to hike with my husband or other family members or friends, that's a great way for me to kind of get my mind free.
That is one for me too. My husband and I hike a lot, and I feel like it helps me be more in alignment with God. That's how I feel because he created all this beauty and stuff out there. It immediately shifts my energy. Like if I'm feeling lower, overwhelmed, it's like a quick way to shift. And I like that you said too, the meditation part, because for us people with like the really busy minds, it can feel like you just don't want to sit there and like think, because in your mind you're thinking, or just let the stuff show up, because you're like, well, this is a waste of time. I got more stuff to do. That's what used to come up for me. And I mean, sometimes it still comes up, but I have found that being still has been something that has feel so much more peace just sitting there, and even journaling. I just got asked in an interview I did the other day, what was one thing, like if I could tell people that was important to being intentional in your life, creating the life that you want, what is one habit they should have? And I said, to sit there, to be still, like journal if that feels good to you, like let the thoughts come out, do the prayer, whatever form of mindfulness, like practice some form of mindfulness, because in today's world, people are so busy and they're always trying to fill their schedule and do all the things. They don't even get that time to sit and think and even think about what they want to create, be. And, you know, if you listen to some of the people with the greatest minds, they say, I spend time sitting and thinking. They actually block out chunks of their schedule to sit and think. So, okay. So we mentioned the book a couple times already, but tell us, what is the book called, and like what inspired you to actually write it?
Yeah. So it's called Unholy Mess, What the Bible Says About Clutter. And it published in December, this past December on Amazon. And it really dives into these three kinds of clutter and like what are they, what effects are there, and some helpful hints to try to get out of them. And there's lots and lots of scripture, lots of very deep thought-provoking questions to help you examine your life and examine how each of the three kinds of clutter could be affecting you. So it's everything from scripture and theory to practical steps. Okay, you got me. I realize I've got a problem. Now what do I do? So and I'm going to be writing soon. I'm going to be writing a Bible study companion for the book, where I go even deeper into scripture. And
ooh, how cool. That would be so fun for people, like, for people to use, because I know a lot of people want that accountability in like decluttering, and to have that deeper awareness around why it's so important.
Right. So, and I'm going to record the audiobook sometime soon too. So right now it's available as paperback or ebook, but it'll soon be available on audiobook, and then I'll have the Bible study companion.
How awesome. So I know that there's a lot of people listening who have that dream and that desire to write a book. And you were the person that was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then you write initially and you had to figure this out, like us all.
Yes.
So what are your tips for those that have that dream and that desire in their heart, just like you did? And like, how do they go about making that a reality for them?
Okay. Well, I would say start right now, even if you don't know anything. Get all those ideas out of your head. Start typing it or writing it, however, just record everything, even if you don't have the overall plan, even if you don't know what it's going to turn into, just start getting, because those ideas are valuable. And you don't want to have to be like, okay, now I'm going to actually write the book. What was that thing I was thinking about 6 months ago? You know, so just start recording it and pray about it. And if you've got the ability to hire someone for the coaching process, that was super helpful to me. Chandra Holmberg, she's a professional organizer who also helps people with their writing. So she's a book coach and she helps with the publishing and the editing and all that. Her business is called Hold Your Hand Book Coach.
Oh, that's cool.
So I first submitted what my idea to her and then just said, look, I don't know if this is good. If this is really bad, I need you to tell me, you know, because I don't want to put it out there if it's junk. And so she kind of took me from, okay, you've got some good ideas, so go ahead and start writing. And then we'd meet and kind of look at what I'd done and figure out how to switch it around. So get some help, I think, is a really good, especially if it's your first time and you feel very overwhelmed with it. And pray a lot about it, record everything.
Yeah, those are great tips. Like, just put your ideas out there, get them out of your mind, and then seek help and like seek wisdom where you need it. Like, I think that that's also another way of honoring other people's gifts.
Yes.
That's the way that I see it. And it's, yeah, super helpful.
Oh, another thing I would say is spend some time thinking about who are you writing this for?
Mm-hmm.
Your ideal reader, because what you say is going to change based on who you're writing it to. Like, what is the, you have this message, you have this idea. Who do you think would be the best beneficiary of this? These ideas that you have. So, and there are some really great templates out there for ideal reader personas, is what you call them. But the more you can have a visual image and ideas about who you're writing to, the better your writing will be.
That is such a great tip.
Yeah. So, and to the point of like, you know, man or woman, how old do they work? What do they do in their free time? What, you just, you know, everything that you can think of, and you probably will have more than one, but, so spending time on that is very valuable time.
And that's super helpful because that will help get your book out there because you'll know who to go to.
Yes.
To market it to.
Exactly.
And who would be interested, who would benefit, all of that. So I'm curious now, who did you write your book for?
I wrote it for Christians who there's something missing in their life and they know, and they're just not quite sure what it is. Like, I have everything I need, but something's not quite right. There's a sense of unfulfillment, a sense of maybe I'm not getting to the heart of what God wants me to be.
I love that. So everyone that's listening to the show right now, this is an awesome book for you to pick up. I'll make sure that you have a link to it in the show notes. I'm really curious to read it. I'm so looking forward to the study. I would totally love to host a group of people to go through it. I can't wait. So you'll have to share that with me, Angie. So okay. I have a couple more things I really just want to know. Like, tell me your top two organizing tips.
Yes, I would love to share those. Okay. My top one that I share with everybody, you know, ideally you would go into every closet and every drawer and organize your whole house. And I'm all about that. But if you say, okay, I just don't have time. I really want to make an impact on this clutter thing. So here's one small thing that you can do that costs you like almost zero time, but is a big benefit. So I call it daily decluttering. So what you do is just get a container of some sort, put it somewhere on the main level of your house. And every time you see anything at all that you don't love and use, just immediately put it in that container. And then when it fills up, donate everything in it and then do it over and over again.
That is such a great tip.
It's very powerful. And as much as we decluttered moving into this small space, we still generate things because you bring more stuff in, right? So we have a one in, one out policy, and you probably have to have that yourself in that tiny space. Yeah. I see a shirt I love. I know that's going to cost me a shirt at home. But this daily decluttering thing, it's super easy and it's very beneficial. So
that's my top one. Awesome. What's another one?
Okay. Oh, okay. This one for your schedule. I heard this on an interview with author Laura Vanderkam. And I'll give you that link.
Oh, I love her too.
Do you? Okay.
Yes.
And she was interviewed by Marie Forleo, who's a motivational writer. So talking about with the way we fill up our schedule with things, and a lot of people have a hard time saying no. I'm one of them. And especially we have a hard time if the thing that we're asked about is far in the future. So it's like 3-4 months away. So we look at our calendar and we go, oh, well, yeah, I'm free. Sure. That should be no problem. But it's like we think our future self is still going to have a really clear calendar, but you know that 3 or 4 months from now, other things are going to be in there, right? Mm-hmm. So when someone approaches you about doing something and it's in the future, kind of reframe it in your mind and pretend that thing is happening tomorrow and your schedule is already packed. So if your reaction is, oh man, that's so up my alley. Yes, I want to do that. Oh my gosh, my schedule is, okay, I can move this. I can switch this. I can cancel this. Yes, absolutely, I want to do this. If that's your attitude about it, then that's something you should say yes to. Mm-hmm. But if that thing was tomorrow and you think, no, my schedule's full, so not willing to switch all that stuff, sorry. So think about it that way. It will really tell you whether that is something that is right in your wheelhouse of your skills, your passion, all that.
So, I love that. It kind of reminds me of the whole saying, like, if it's not a heck yes or it's a heck
yes,
no, whatever.
Yeah, Derek Sievers. Yeah.
Like, I love that because I need that one a lot because I am the person that will look and, or they'll ask me, even just like podcast stuff, like, you know, or to attend something, speak at something, whatever. And I will be like, I'll push it off. And I'll be like, I'll do it then. But if I really, then that time, and then I'm a little resentful that I agreed to doing that.
Yeah,
I don't really want to do it. Yeah. So it's so awesome. That's a great tip. Okay. So what about, we're going to end on this note because I'm curious about the scriptures that you had mentioned. What is one of your favorite scriptures that relate to decluttering?
I would probably say Philippians 4:8-9. Yeah. Thinking about what we allow to go in our minds and what we mull over in our minds. Philippians 4:8-9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Because what we think about, you said this earlier, what we think about determines our actions, and then those actions determine the course of our lives. So what we allow our minds to kind of mull over is really important. And God wants us to love him with our whole heart and mind and soul. So
where your focus goes, the energy flows from there. And it starts in the mind.
All right, y'all. I hope that you really enjoyed that episode and it got you thinking about clutter and how it shows up for you. If you want to get Angie's book, I will have a link to it in the show notes. You can always find the show notes and the details section of every podcast episode or on my website, intentionalmindpodcast.com. And if you're interested in doing a study related to this and like getting accountability around decluttering, message me. Find me on Instagram. It's @AngieBarnard. I'm usually on that one, or also Intentional Mind Podcast. And let me know, because if there's enough people, maybe we can get a group together and we can start doing this decluttering stuff together. Wouldn't that be fun? All right. So have an awesome day and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.